Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to an honest review of 2014's Tusk. Stu, you're back from holiday, mate.
Lads.
Let's fucking lads.
I've been knee-deep in some clunge over in Ibiza. Lads, fucking lads. And the best bit is, I found someone to bring back with me. My holiday romance is Adam Woolard.
Hey!
Hi, Adam Woolard, popular battle rapper and extraordinaire who wrote a book.
Hey, how you doing? You all right?
Yes.
Not bad.
Me and Stu met poolside, and he looked over at me, and I looked over at him, and we exchanged fluids, and then he said, I've got a little place in my heart and in Bracknell, and I said, I'll take both. And so I came back, and now I'm knee-deep in Bracknell and Stu.
I guess what we should probably do is...
start an OnlyFans.
Yeah, me and Adam just clapping cheeks, love it. Look, if you've ever had a holiday romance with a man called Adam or a battle rapper, you might as well just click subscribe.
Yeah, it will definitely be the same person in the Venn diagram. If it was Adam or a battle rapper, it would still be me.
Anyway, let's start talking about Tusk, written and directed by Kevin Smith. And we kick things off with Justin Long as a man named Wallace, who has a podcast, a much better podcast than ours, called The Nazi Party.
Yeah.
And it's called that because his friend, the kid from The Sixth Sense, does not see anything that Wallace goes out and reports about, which is weird fucking scenarios and strange people.
It's a very specific pitch, isn't it? It's a very specific pitch to name a fucking podcast over. Oh, he does not see it, so we call it The Nuts. No, I'm not having that.
Mm-mm. What would you call it?
I'd call it the... I don't know. The... This I can't think of anything funny, so just skim over that, delete that in the edit, come on.
And it's in. With this scenario, anyway.
Well, they find a video of a guy cutting his leg off, so fucking funny, that they decide to try and go to Canada to find the man who cut his leg off to make fun of him. But when they get there, the guy has killed himself to make the podcasters feel bad.
Which works.
It really does. And then the main guy is like, oh, fucking hell, I've got to stay in Canada for a little while and find out just something for my podcast. When they find out that guy who cut his leg off died, we got to the funeral. His mum is crying and she goes, and I'm sure she cried once and they just copied it and repeated it like 12 times.
That was pretty bad cry acting.
I think it's only right that you three show us your best cry acting right now.
Who's going first?
You are.
All right, but I'm going to embarrass everyone else here with my... honestly, I will smash this. Wait, what am I crying about?
French politicians.
Did they die or win or what?
No, they're just French.
They won and then died. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fucking died, that stupid cunt. He just won the fucking election, you stupid fucking French prick. How'd you fucking win an election and fucking die?
Do you know what I mean?
That's quite strong.
You set me off as well, and I'm really... and I don't like it. Can someone... has anybody got any French wine or something that they could help me drink? Because I really... I don't like the fact that the French people, the politicians, the French. It's not very nice.
It's quite strong as well. That is quite strong. Connor?
Oh, why are you dying?
Whoa.
What the fuck has just happened?
He's gone Mexican.
That's someone from French Guiana crying about the loss of her.
Connor, you've never been to France, have you? Because I don't think French people go, ha, fucking snails.
Like, I don't think here that's... we go. The PC police are in. Bloody hell. Woke.
There we go. Vote for your winner in the comments.
He finds a letter on a bathroom wall that's like, I am an old man. Just...
I don't think even old men actually say, I am an old man. I don't think they're really that conscious of it.
Howard, anyway, who is this aforementioned old man? So we go around his, like, gaff, and he, like, lives in some fucking mansion in the middle of nowhere at, the top of Canada.
Yeah, in the Bifrost, isn't it?
Yes. Is that northern Canada?
Well, I don't know, because I thought that was the fucking thing that Thor comes down on.
I was going
to
say.
I swear to God.
Yes, it is.
But it just turns out that's an actual place. Is that a real place?
Well, it must be. It's in this film, so it's got to be a fact.
Well, yeah. Everything else is fucking accurate, yeah.
Well, it says at the start it's based on true events, so this is, by all accounts, a documentary.
That's true.
And Howard has a mutual friend of yours, Adam, as well, Ernest Hemingway.
I respect him as a writer in the same way that I respect Ernest Hemingway.
That's right.
Can you tell us anything about Ernest Hemingway?
Well, he's a good kid.
Kid?
He was at one point, yeah. I've always wanted to do a book called Ernest Hemingway, The Words of Yesterday. But it also rhymes with purple-headed snake, which is quite good as well, because it's a euphemism for the penis.
Well, Howard owns the purple-headed snake of a walrus as well.
That's right, yeah.
He does.
And Howard's got this walrus cockbone, anyway, in his house. Apparently, he knew Ernest Hemingway during the war, and he gets lost at sea, and then lands on some bit of rock, and then he just meets a walrus, and then starts a sexual relationship.
They just cuddle. They cuddle for a bit.
Was it sexual? I think it was sort of platonic, wasn't it?
I think it was just, like, my best friend.
Yeah.
It's basically how Adam and I met on holiday. We were swimming and he found me on a rock and we just cuddled. And eventually he tasted me.
Then I got the bone, yeah.
You got the purple-headed snake. Did you, at any point, Adam, contemplate putting Stu inside a realistic walrus suit?
The idea flashed and then quickly exited. And I did get where the guy was coming from. He's not completely mad. If we were all to say after three that we didn't do that at one point when we've met someone, I think we could tell who was lying, and I think it would basically be all of us.
Every single one of us. It's not like one in five people has dressed another man up as a walrus. It's five in five people.
Five on five.
Wallace gets his leg taken off as well, anyway, because he gets, like, drugged by Howard and then wakes up in a wheelchair. His, like, left leg's now fucking gone. And then that's when Howard reveals the walrus costume plan.
Just the way he says it, he's like, "You've got to ask, why are you doing this? To answer the thing that has plagued us most, is man indeed a walrus?" What the fuck is going on in this film?
I love it. I was so behind it.
Why?
Me?
Yes.
Well, I mean, the walrus is a very peaceful, loving, beautiful animal.
Not in this fucking film.
Yeah, but only when it's been tainted with the sin of man. When you see a walrus out there, they're loving life, they don't have any problems, they don't have any politics. I'm with him.
Yeah, but they're not very often made of human skin, though.
That I will, even I will agree, went a bit too far there.
What, you weren't into the ears and belly buttons sewn onto the suit?
No. What I didn't like was how his head sort of retracted into the neck. Quite often. Yeah. So Justin Long's head sort of looked like a sort of a sort of penis retreating into the foreskin, and I didn't enjoy that. Not just because the imagery of penis, but I mean, just it was aesthetically not very pleasing.
Yes, I would concur with that statement. And when he does get pushed into the water as well, trying to teach him how to fucking swim, sinks down and sees a failed walrus suit. So it's been attempted before.
And then suddenly, nearly French-Canadian Johnny Depp turns up.
What the fuck was this?
Last night after you called me, I sleep like the breastfed baby.
Where did he spring from? I was watching him speak for about 4 minutes before I went, that's fucking Johnny Depp. Why is he playing a French detective?
He had to disguise himself after he battered his missus.
Jesus Christ. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I couldn't even tell it was him.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that for a while. But he loves a bit of that, doesn't he? He did it in Black Mass. He's done it in a bunch of stuff. He loves dressing up.
So Jacques Depp decides to hunt down
Jacques.
Well, what's French for Johnny?
Johnny Depardieu. That's what you got to go for.
So, okay, Johnny Depardieu, he decides to track down Wallace, and it leads him to Howard, who is now fucking naked, teaching Wallace how to swim. What's going on?
I think you just explained it, yeah?
Yeah, what's
left to get? Love Wallace the walrus, by the way.
Howard gets his own walrus suit on, which is fantastic.
And he has a
smell fucking walrus up with Wallace.
It was a bit odd, wasn't it?
It reminded me of Chuck Liddell versus Rampage Jackson.
Why?
What do you mean, why? It was a fight. That was also a fight. It's the only one I know the names of both the people involved. So that's why it was like it.
Was that part of your research? You, like, Googled...
Oh, it was 45 minutes of that fucking fight, and it was shit.
We just have to talk about the best part of the film, though. His girlfriend and the other podcaster try and find him, right? Johnny Depp is like, okay, we're going to find him, and we've got to get to Canada.
That's a pretty good impression of Johnny Depp.
That's really good.
He said he was north of this place, so he traveled 2 hours north. You are his girlfriend. Tell me, what would he do in a car? They find him, by the way. They hear him screaming from the other side of a fucking forest. They walk through the forest, get to a garden, they find a house, they go through the front door, they go up some stairs, across an entire fucking mansion, they get to another flight of stairs that takes them down about 8 floors to a room that they can hear him behind a wall, which they break to run through a corridor to an underground pool. They heard him from the other side of a fucking forest.
Yeah, but he's got big lungs like a walrus.
I was gonna say, yeah, big ribcage, big sounds.
Oh, well, now I feel a bit stupid because you've just explained it away.
It's just science, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the end of this movie, this fantastic movie, Walrus and Howard have their little scrap, and Howard is killed by being stabbed to death with Wallace's tusks, and Wallace awakes, now living in a little sea life centre.
Because he's his girlfriend and... They keep him as a pet.
Yeah, they give him a little inflatable ring in the shittiest pool ever, and just that's where they're keeping him.
Because, like, Howard, while he's fighting him, isn't he? He's like, right, what's going to happen? You are either going to fucking die or go full walrus, so I'm fighting you. I'm fucking fighting you for your walrusness. Wallace is like, you know what? I am a fucking walrus.
Cuckoo-ca-choo. But then, like, afterwards, everyone just starts throwing fucking fish at Wallace anyway, right at the end. They're just turning up with fucking fish, a full fucking fish.
Yeah, because he's full walrus. He's embracing the fact that he's a walrus now.
Why would you embrace that, though?
Well, what else are you going to do?
Well, what, would you not be like, get me out of this fucking suit, please?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if he's not a walrus, they're going to pull him out the suit. He's going to have no limbs except a penis bone on his left hand.
He cut his tongue out and everything, didn't he?
He's got nothing. The only thing he can do is be a walrus.
Just make that stupid noise.
And the only thing that he can do that walruses can't do is cry.
I've made a walrus cry.
What? Was it Wallace?
I don't think so. It didn't look stitched together. I've made a walrus cry. You punch a walrus hard enough in the gut and you'll make anything fucking cry, to be fair. I was annoyed at that. I've made cats cry, I've made dogs cry, I've made penguins cry. All it needs is a swift fucking uppercut into the stomach.
I'm actually upset just about the penguins. The rest can fuck off, but penguins.
Penguins are the easiest to make cry.
Yeah, that's why it's so hard for me.
Give it a fucking dead wing and you'll be laughing. Did you guys watch past the into the credits?
No.
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 No, what did I fuck?
Did you really not?
No. It's not a Marvel film. What happened?
Oh my god, you guys missed the whole fucking reveal. This is ridiculous. Right, 20 seconds into the credits, it starts playing a podcast. It's Kevin Smith's podcast laughing with the other person from the podcast about this stupid idea for a film they had, which was the film you just watched.
Ah.
He's laughing, he's crying, he's like going, and then the fucking walrus is just there and he's fucking eating a fucking mackerel, and they're cracking up, and they basically put it out on Twitter whether you wanted them to make the film, and they got thousands of upvotes to the point that they got the funding to make the film. It was just a huge fucking joke. And I was watching the credits roll and I was thinking, all these people are in on this fucking joke.
I thought this film was absolutely disgraceful, but I've gone a full 180.
Full 360.
A full 360.
Just ended up back where he was.
It sadly didn't do too well, though, because it was like a 3 million budget, but only got 1.9 million back. So it was like a 1.1 million loss.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've made the money back, like, on DVD and things like that since. But, like, initially, like, they probably just didn't have the money to distribute it. And who the fuck's going to see this? You know what I mean?
But that's why, like, watching back, and well, not watching back, I only watched it once, but having that, like, hindsight.
Slick.
What a review.
So anyway, lads, let's wrap up our overall thoughts about Tusk. Adam, what are your feelings, sir?
I genuinely enjoyed it. I genuinely thought it was really good. I thought it was stupid at the beginning, but then when I realised that it was a joke, it all made a lot of sense, and I thought it was really funny and stupid. So I'd give it, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Wow. Okay.
It's actually a 10 on 10.
Yes, I'm happy with that. Stu, your thoughts?
Yeah. Overall, it was watchable, not particularly enjoyable. It was a bit all over the place. I'm glad I've seen it, but I wouldn't go back. I'm gonna go for a truthful 3 out of 10.
Smooth. Thanks, Stu. Coffee.
My thoughts were like either an absolute fucking 2 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10.
Well, which is it?
Both.
Brilliant.
Mate, it was absolutely horrific, but at the same time, like, the context made it fantastic.
What did you give it, Connor?
Ah, no one cares about me.
I felt guilty. I thought, I should ask, but I don't care,
I enjoyed it, but not great.
Adam, before you go, any promotion? Do you want to throw it in?
Yeah, sure. I could do with, 45 new people seeing this. So, yeah, I mean, I've got a book out.
Hey, you cunt.
And I hope everyone goes to buy it. It's called The Advanced Rhyming Dictionary. It's available on Amazon and Shuffle. t.com/shop. So yeah, if you're into rhyme, go get that. If you're from Tunbridge Wells or France, you can fuck off. Everyone else, get on it.
Perfect.
There's a massive disparity in the size of those two places.
Connor, outro, go.
There we go. That was our honest review of 2014's Tusk. Thank you for joining us, Adam, for this week's episode.
Cheers, guys.
You're welcome back anytime, although I'm sure you wouldn't like to be. And join us next week for another episode of Friday Fright Time.